NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong, here with Adrian Ma.
It's good to be here.
And Planet Money's Alexi Horowitz-Ghazi.
What up, Indicators? Let's go.
Welcome to Indicators of the Week. Today, we are bringing you three insights from the global economy. The four-month standoff between actors and Hollywood studios may have finally come to an end. The once popular co-working company WeWork is filing for bankruptcy. And the U.S. is saving some money in zookeeping after shipping three pandas to China.
That budgetary news you can use and more coming up after the break.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Edward Jones. What is rich? Maybe it's less about reaching a magic number and more about discovering the magic in life. Edward Jones Financial Advisors are people you can count on for financial strategies that help support a life you love. Edward Jones, member SIPC. This message comes from Apple Card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase. That's 3% on products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply. This message comes from NPR sponsor, Delta Airlines. When you think about it, half the trips the world takes are trips home, and those at Delta are travelers just like you. That's why they try to make you feel at home long before you even get there.
Indicators of the Week. Alexi Horowitz-Ghazi, you're up first.
All right, my indicator this week is $1 billion plus.
Plus!
Yeah, that's right. That is the estimated value of the tentative deal reached earlier this week between SAG-AFTRA, which is the union that represents film and TV actors, and the big Hollywood studios and streamers.
New and improved $1 billion. $1 billion plus.
It could be anything. Could be a private jet in there. I don't know. The reason we don't know is because the exact details of this deal haven't been released yet. Billion plus is just how SAG-AFTRA president Fran Drescher, that's how she put it in a celebratory Instagram post. And now, this tentative deal marks the tentative end of the longest strike in SAG-AFTRA's 90-year history, which, along with the lengthy strike by the Writers Guild of America that ended in September, has put huge swaths of the entertainment industry on pause for the last 6 months.
Does this explain why it feels like there's nothing to watch on streaming for the past several months?
Yeah, that's right. It's just Love is Blind until...
Yeah, it is all reality shows, right?
Yes, but this may be coming to an end because of this new deal, which, according to the union, has solidified a few big gains when it comes to actor pay and health benefits. That includes pay increases for everyone, including background actors, and bonus payments for actors whose work ends up on a streaming platform like Hulu or Netflix.
The bonus payments for actors who are on streaming, that's a big deal, right? Because that was one of the big complaints I kept hearing about, that the residual payments are just a pittance, even with all these shows that get really big on streaming or find like a second life on streaming.
Yes, the Actors Union was actually going for a kind of much bigger residuals package when it comes to streaming. So this seems to have been a kind of compromise. But there was also a big piece of news in the AI taking all of our jobs department. Because as part of this deal, Hollywood studios will not be allowed to use AI to create digital versions of actors without first, you know, getting their approval or offering some sort of compensation. Now, this deal is still officially up in the air until members of SAG-AFTRA vote to approve it. That vote is likely to happen within a matter of days. And so it seems like Hollywood is about to sprint back into full production, just in time to hopefully still be able to crank out some of next year's summer blockbusters. Oh, one last thing I should say, as reporters at NPR, we are actually members of SAG-AFTRA, though our industry was not involved in this dispute.
And yet we still got those phone calls from Fran Drescher.
That was just a bonus.
That was the plus. Okay, from a big plus to a big minus. Adrian, what's your indicator?
Hey, oh yeah, that's right. So my indicator is 98%, which is how much a share of WeWork stock has fallen since the beginning of this year. And it kind of hit its low point just this past week after reports the company was planning to declare bankruptcy. WeWork, in case anyone forgot, is this company that started in 2010. Its main business is renting out co-working space to freelancers or startups. And just a few years ago, it was valued around $47 billion.
Yeah, it seemed like it was going to take over the world for a sec there.
Yeah, I mean, like, have you either of you ever worked in a WeWork?
No, and I feel like it's too late.
Yeah, I never actually got to go to one, but it always seemed like a kind of millennial daycare vibe, which I liked.
That is not inaccurate. I feel like it's pretty spot on, actually. This communal working experience was not long for the pandemic era, or even really the post-pandemic era, because, well, demand for office space has shrunk dramatically in the past few years. And to put it in perspective, there's a company called Castle Systems, which tracks people's card swipes into office buildings. And they estimate that in major U.S. cities, the number of people going into offices is about half today what it was at the start of the pandemic.
Yeah, I have not been swiping like I used to, I'm going to admit.
Yeah, and I haven't left my basement in years. Years, people.
You know, so this is a huge macro part of WeWork's problem, right? And meanwhile, the company's debts have been piling up. It has employees to pay and loans to pay and even rent to pay, because WeWork itself doesn't own most of its office spaces. It actually leases those spaces from other landlords. So all this is why it filed for bankruptcy. And it's actually worth noting that the company's former CEO, infamously this guy Adam Neumann, is doing pretty well right now. So Adam Neumann was actually ousted from the company in 2019 over concerns about his managerial style, shall we say. Still, he got a pretty nice golden parachute, and it's estimated that he left the company with an exit package worth over $1 billion.
A billion plus, some would say.
A billion plus.
He's currently launching a startup called Flow, which he claims will, quote, elevate the apartment rental experience, which, not totally clear what that means, but this company has already attracted hundreds of millions of dollars of investment. So maybe it's another chapter for Mr. Neumann.
Thank you, Adrian, for your indicator. Now we're going to move on to a distinctly furrier indicator from Waylon Wong. Waylon, what you got?
Okay. My indicator is $1 million. That is the yearly cost of a unique loan program between China and the U.S. that has come to an end, at least for now. This week, the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. literally FedExed its three giant pandas back to China.
Wait, so the pandas cost $1 million?
Well, the pandas cost $1 million a year. That is how much the U.S. was paying China to borrow these pandas from China.
They were rent-a-pandas.
Imagine watching that package tracking anxiously.
The charter flight was called the FedEx Panda Express. Amazing.
Wow.
But, you know, this is more than just a story about some charismatic megafauna. You may have heard the term panda diplomacy. That's a term for the Chinese government program that loans out pandas to other countries as a symbol of goodwill. And the U.S. got its first pandas back in 1972 after President Nixon normalized relations with China. And First Lady Pat Nixon received the pandas at an official ceremony.
And I think pandemonium is going to break out right here at the zoo. Thank you very much.
First ladies and dad jokes. They go well together. You got to love it.
So there were three pandas that went back. It was mom, dad, and a pandemic baby. And the pandas, the grown-up pandas, had been at the National Zoo since 2000. And the original terms of the loan said 10 years, and it kept getting extended until now. And China has also not extended loan agreements for other zoos in the U.S. So China's actually been gradually repatriating its pandas. And now the only ones left in the U.S. are at the Atlanta Zoo, but their agreement runs out next year. So we could just be completely out of pandas by next year.
All of this seems like kind of a bad sign for U.S. and China economic relations, doesn't it?
I think so. Yeah, things have been on edge between these two countries. And President Biden is expected to meet with Chinese President Xi Jinping in San Francisco next week. Adrian, I know you're going to fill us in on that soon.
Totally. Yeah. Next week, we'll have an episode of The Indicator previewing this meeting of the presidents of the world's two biggest economies. So stick around for that. Which is to say, Waylon, don't leave your basement just yet.
Stay there for at least a week.
I've got provisions.
This episode was produced by Cooper Katz-McKim with engineering by Sina Lafredo. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Cake and Cannon edits our show, and The Indicator's a production of NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as the Black experience, you'll hear it means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Project Lead the Way. In today's changing world, every teacher deserves a STEM ally. Project Lead the Way is a proven national leader in science, technology, engineering, and math education for pre-K through high school. They strive to help teachers make every student in every grade STEM successful through interactive, problem-based learning. Learn more and find a school with Project Lead the Way near you at pltw.org/NPR.